JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan is back with a long-awaited quarterbacks preview for the 2024 NFL draft. Yes, the Bucks could use a quarterback, depending on how you look at it. Sean dives into that and really goes deep on all these prospects, which will shape the NFL for many, many years to come. Best in Class is presented by Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Get there now. Shop there now. They cannot be beat. Here's Sean.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. The Giant has returned. This is the most exciting podcast because it's my quarterback breakdown, and as you know, this is what gets the juices flowing. And I have been extremely accurate with quarterbacks since I was able to become the draft guru for Joe Bucks Fan, which is obviously a very exciting position. So let's talk about the dealership first. So the grand opening is next month. We have a lot of things going on. March Madness right now. We have 0%, zero payments. And basically, for 72 months, 60 months, 66 months, you can get into the vehicle of your choice with huge discounts, huge interest rate savings, lifetime warranty, and we obviously have a giant selection. So please visit us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa. Go on there and see all of our amazing specials. Follow us at Bill Curry Tampa on Facebook, obviously, Instagram, Twitter, whatever other social media things that are coming up. I guess TikTok and Instagram now are things. So I don't know. That's not my thing. That's why I miss Grace so much, because she controlled all the social media. Now we have a company that does it. So it's not the same. A shout out to Grace, wherever you are. Very, very excited for this opportunity to go through the quarterbacks. I keep referring back with Lee and Ira and Steve to the 1983 quarterback class. Now, six first-round quarterbacks were taken. John Elway, obviously, which should have been the Bucks pick. I'm not even going to get into the fact that the Bucks in 1983 needed a quarterback. We let Doug Williams walk in free agency. We traded the number one overall pick for a journeyman quarterback when we could have had John Elway, or Dan Marino, or Jim Kelly, or Ken O'Brien even had a decent career. You know, Tony Eason actually went to a Super Bowl. Todd Blackledge was pretty much the only one that didn't have a very good career. But again, six quarterbacks: Elway, Blackledge, Kelly, Eason, O'Brien, Marino. Out of those guys, you know, there's several Hall of Famers there: Elway, Kelly, and Marino. I am going to say that six quarterbacks will be taken in the 24 draft in the first round. It's going to at least equal the 1983 draft. And the really interesting thing is that you might have five taken in the first 10 picks from whatever, all the research I've done. And we're going to break down who those players are. So really get strapped in for the best. I'm not going to say 30 minutes because this is going to run long. This is a quarterback. This takes time. The research that I've done, I'm going to be able to share things with you that you will not find anywhere on the internet. You will not find them if you Google them. You are going to get information that is going to make you completely prepared for the 2024 draft if you are a GM drafting a quarterback, and that's what you're going to get in this podcast. So I saw Ira Kaufman yesterday. He came into the dealership to get service, and we, of course, talked football. And he said he was running into Jason Light in the afternoon and asked if I wanted to say anything to Jason Light. And I'm like, please tell him that in 1983, right, the quarterback draft, the draft of all quarterbacks, we didn't select a quarterback. Okay? We had the opportunity to select any quarterback we wanted, and we traded out of that. Please don't miss out on the 24 draft. At 26, I know people are talking about edge rusher. They're talking about guard. I get it all. This is what I would do. If one of these quarterbacks, one of these six quarterbacks falls to 26, it doesn't matter who it is, and we're going to go through the names. You have to, it's your duty. It would be derelict of duty not to take a quarterback that would be normally a top 10, which would be pushed down to 26. You don't even have to trade out of the position if the guy's there. That's all I'm asking Jason Light to do. Draft him. It has nothing to do with Baker Mayfield. It has nothing to do with Kyle Trask. I know we just signed John Wolford. Don't care. If a quarterback falls, and we're going to go through the Penix or the Bo Nix or a McCarthy, if they fall to 26, it is your responsibility to Aaron Rodgers the situation, right? Because that's basically, you know, what this is, right? If a quarterback falls, you grab them. You know, we could follow the Green Bay model. The Green Bay model had Hall of Famer Brett Favre. When he was still playing football, they drafted Aaron Rodgers, obviously, who sat for 3 years, became a Hall of Famer. And then while Aaron Rodgers was there, they drafted Jordan Love, who had an extremely good season to finish, to round out last year. It looks like the Green Bay Packers are going to have three decades with three quarterbacks. That's insane. And what do? They pick a quarterback that falls. They pick one that they like, and they add them, and they don't have to play them right away. With Baker Mayfield, we don't have to play these guys right away. Jason Light, please listen. If they're there, draft them. Other than that, draft a pass rusher. All right, that's my two cents. All right, let's get started. Going number one in the draft, and it's going to be Caleb Williams. And everyone that sent me emails and texts going, what do you think about Caleb Williams? What do you think about Caleb Williams? This is what I think about Caleb Williams, the football player. Because remember, Jason Light says you only miss a player between the ears. You don't miss them on the field, right? I don't interview these guys. I don't spend any time with them. And we're going to go over some of his quirks. On the field, Caleb Williams is the most talented quarterback that I have ever scouted, bar none. And this is going to go way back. Now, the thing is, it's not comparable to 83 because the quarterback play has changed. Quarterbacks do different things now than they used to do then. The league has changed where it's more quarterback driven. So a lot of the things that Caleb Williams does now, he probably would not have been able to do in 1983. So I can only go by, and this is for Steve, I can only go by what I'm watching currently. And out of all the prospects that I've looked at, and remember, I nailed Justin Herbert, I nailed C.J. Stroud, for those of you who listen to Best in Class, I have absolutely nailed this position. And I'm going to tell you that going back to, let's say, Trevor Lawrence's draft, go back to Andrew Luck's draft, and we can look at these types of players. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a franchise-changing player where it looks like the Bears literally gave Justin Fields away for a pack of cigarettes, right? And people don't even smoke anymore. And there's a reason why they did that, and it's because their GM sees what I see. They see a revolutionary player in the NFL. C.J. Stroud, to me, was a can't-miss prospect last year. If you go back and listen to my QB breakdown, I asked Jason Light to trade three number one picks to get up and get him because he was a stone-cold franchise quarterback from day one. And you guys saw he led the league in touchdown-interception ratio. He took his team to the second round of the playoffs. He was the man, okay? I also liked his physical stature, and his timing was impeccable. Now, Caleb Williams is not going to be a physical imposing person. I mean, if he's 6'1", I'd be shocked, right? They say he's 6'1". He doesn't look 6'1". He looks 6 foot. I don't care about his 40-yard dash time. I don't care about his hand size. This is a guy that displays an incredible, and I mean incredible, touch on the football. He can go long. He can go intermediate. He can go short. He can play in any modern offense right now in the NFL. He can do things with his legs, do things that are just not normal. Now, he's not some super athlete. We're going to talk about Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels has wheels. You know, Caleb Williams is not spectacularly athletic. I mean, he is athletic, don't get me wrong, but he's not going to be like a specimen of, not as much athletic as you would think, but has enough to get out of the way of defensive backs, blitzing, safeties blitzing, edge rushers. He sees it. I think he has a really good feel for the game. And you know, we can go over stats, and we can talk about the stats. This is some really important stats. 10,000 passing yards, 120 touchdowns in 2.5 years as a starter. That's production at a level that is very, very ever rarely seen. 10,000 passing yards, 120 touchdowns in 2.5 years. That's pretty incredible. But it's more than that. He has the it factor. He has whatever it is that makes up these quarterbacks that are generational. He has it. And look, we can talk about his 67% completion percentage, and we're going to talk about another guy with great completion percentage. 14 interceptions in 1,099 passing attempts. Protects the ball. A little bit of fumbles this year, but I'm not worried about it. I think the way he has three different arm angles, the way that the strength and the way he can throw the ball, he has a very strong arm. But three different arm placements. He can put the ball on the left or right shoulder. He puts the ball down or high. He very rarely overthrows a receiver. Long ball-wise, he's got an amazing touch. He can throw your fade to the outside. And then if that's not there for any reason, and you saw that this year where the offensive line was one of the worst, besides Colorado, was one of the worst in football, and you saw him being able to basically create his own plays. And he didn't have as much help, obviously, with Jordan Addison, you know, missing this year and a strong offensive line. But I can tell you, when I even some of his misses, you're like, in the NFL, that's going to be a home run. You have to understand how this man's game is going to come into the NFL. You haven't seen this level of excellence from a quarterback that's this mobile. He's not just improvising out there and throwing across his body, trying to playground this situation. He's cerebral. He's looking down and understanding the defense and where he's supposed to go and where his area is, where he's safe to throw the ball. Again, very rarely throws interceptions. Throw for over 1,000 passes and only threw 14 interceptions. 120 touchdowns. And the Patrick Mahomes comparison, I understand the Patrick Mahomes comparison from an arm level standpoint because he throws like a sidearm, a middle arm, and he can throw up high. Obviously, he can throw intermediate. He's very, very accurate, even in short ball. And then, like in a West Coast offense, he can do that. But he's spectacular throwing the ball long, very similar to C.J. Stroud. One of the most impressive things is how he handles pressure because he immediately moves. And I really like that. And that's going to translate extremely well in the NFL. Let's talk about some of his things that I wrote down after watching him. Obviously, we just talked about his arm talent. He has amazing balance. Balance is something that Mahomes has, where I think that that's where a lot of people get that comparison, is not just the arm talent, but when Mahomes is running around, he's very hard to get on the ground. You can hit him. You can grab him. He still is making the throw. Caleb Williams is very similar to that. Caleb Williams can make these plays that look normal and they become spectacular. And I think Mahomes does that too, where sometimes he'll do a jump throw or he'll be at the line of scrimmage and everybody thinks he's going to throw the ball out of bounds. And then he ends up throwing the ball on a rope 30 yards, for completion. That's one of the things that Caleb Williams can do. Again, I talked about under pressure. I think it's pretty crazy how he can avoid a pass rush. So this is so interesting to me. When you watch how he can play fake to start to do the pre-snap and post-snap ball fakes. If you think in your mind, who did it the best? Like Tom Brady was pretty good at play action. Obviously, I think he probably was the best ever statistically. But you've had some really good guys that did these amazing ball fakes. And Patrick Mahomes is one that does. Brett Favre was one, that would constantly pull the ball back, you know, push the safety out of his way. With a ball fake and then throw the ball down the field. Caleb Williams has that in spades. So that's something that's pretty incredible for me. As far as his speed goes, like I wrote down, like he's an athlete, but he's not an incredible athlete. And Jaden Daniels is one of those. Like if you're just going to talk about run speed, Jalen Daniels is unique. He's very unique. But Caleb Williams picks his spots, and he can beat you to the corner, of course. But it's more about how he does it. It's about how he... The angles that he takes. It's like he has a natural gift for understanding football angles. And you can see it over and over and over again in this tape. It's like, how did he see that? How did he feel that? It's just the game that he gets. He just really gets it. Accuracy, similar to Drew Brees. Arm strength, similar to Patrick Mahomes. How often do you get that? I'm not quite sure about his leadership ability. And that's something that Lee DeKemper will tell you all the time that he doesn't care about. So I'm not going to break much into the leadership category. Like Baker Mayfield has a reputation for being a strong leader. Caleb Williams, I don't know how he is there. And we're going to talk about some of the off-the-field stuff that would make this pick not a no-brainer for me. But statistically, the player, what he can do on the field is amazing. Again, zip accuracy, bootlegs are unbelievable. If you get this guy rolling out, he can put the ball on the money. And I think that he's going to be one of those generational players that's going to turn the Chicago Bears franchise around immediately. And I think it's going to come with a lot of hype. And it's going to be, how does Caleb Williams deal with all the hype? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've never interviewed the guy. Obviously, I don't get to spend time with the players. Some of the things that worry me about Caleb Williams have nothing to do with the field. It has to do with the fact that he went on NBC and talked about how whichever team drafts him that he wants to be part ownership in. That is a scary thing for a football club when he's not talking about post-playing. He's talking about while he's playing. He has a short list of teams that he wants to play for: Cowboys, Raiders, Vikings, Giants, or 49ers. He didn't want, he said he basically didn't want to play for anybody with those teams. That's very Elway-esque. When John Elway, if you guys don't understand the Elway story, Elway was telling everyone where he was going to play. And it didn't care where he was drafted. He just said, this is where I'm going to play. Caleb Williams is very similar to Elway in that arrogance, where he's basically saying, I'm not just privileged to be in the NFL or privileged to be the number one overall pick. I'm going to tell you where I want to play. That's kind of scary. It reminds me a little bit of like the Elway thing. And then some of these other little things, like crying with his mother after a game, which I understand crying with your mother, but having her hold you in the stands is a little strange. Walking off the field after a loss without your teammates is a little strange. It reminds me a little bit of Josh Rosen. When Josh Rosen was coming out, people were just saying he's a little prickish. Caleb Williams comes off like that in a little bit. You know, he paints his fingernails and he puts like curse words on his fingernails. I find that to be a little strange. But again, I'm talking about off the field stuff that would make me, you know, like, okay, this guy's a sure quarterback, franchise quarterback. But is he going to be able to mentally handle, you know, the NFL and losing? Because he doesn't like to lose. If he loses his first year, let's just say the Bears, you know, lose 10 games. What is that going to do to him as a player? If, you know, because of how his response to the loss at Utah, it was like crazy the way he took it so personally. Same with the Notre Dame game. When you're looking at it, man, I feel like the quarterback room has to have a veteran quarterback in it. And I really feel like he needs some help with that kind of guidance. But on the field, it's just unbelievable. It's like watching like a painter, you know, like paint a canvas. It's, he has whatever it is, he has it. You can't get around it. And I'm looking at all these haters. I really think a lot of the haters on Caleb Williams, it's not about football. It's about the rest of him that's annoying. And I totally get that. But on the field, just watching on the field, he doesn't have a peer in this draft. He doesn't have a peer in any draft that I've seen recently. I mean, obviously C.J. Stroud and my boy Herbert, I was very, very high on. This gentleman has a different set of skills. Like, Caleb Williams is a 5-tool player. He's not a 3-tool player in the NFL. He's just gonna do a lot of things well. And I'm so interested to see how the offense is gonna run with Caleb Williams. But I'm telling you right now, if you're sleeping on this guy, or you think he's overrated because he played at California and USC, and you think the media is just pushing this guy, trust me, I feel that way about a lot of players. It's not this guy. Okay? This guy is the real deal. If you love football like I do, there's no games that you watch like with Caleb Williams that you don't just love. And I know that the competition isn't really great with the Colorado game last year with Shedeur Sanders. It is one of the most enjoyable games to watch if you're a football fan. If you have not watched USC Colorado from last year, Caleb Williams threw for 6 touchdowns, ran for I think 2 touchdowns in the game, completed 80% of his passes. It was just fun to watch. And Shedeur Sanders had a strong game. Colorado almost came back and won that game. I just want to tell you that football should be fun. What you watch, you should enjoy. It shouldn't be boring. Caleb Williams is not boring. He's going to be the number one overall pick. In this situation, they've added players to the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams should be an instant star, period. Bar none, he's your franchise. He is going to be a marketing like wonder for the Chicago Bears. So congratulations on them. More to come on Caleb Williams. My second quarterback, past Caleb Williams, okay, there's another section of players, and I know that there's GMs out there that don't believe me. I know there's a local GM that's not going to believe me, that because they love Drake May. So many GMs love Drake May. The Washington GM loves Drake May. I really like Drake May, okay? But between Jaden Daniels and Drake May, right, like what is the drop-off there? And we're going to go through his positives and negatives, but I'm trying to understand how much of a drop-off there really is between these players, and I think it's just a pick 'em. At this point, if you like Drake May, you pick him second because, you know, strong career at North Carolina. We're going to go through the stats. Amazing intermediate passing. The guy is extremely accurate, 15 to 30 yards. That's going to be great for the offense that you run. And I'm not a big fan of how either one of the next quarterbacks that we're going to talk about are inconsistent. Not as much of a fan of it. I really like the consistency of... And when someone goes, well, did you see his 2023 tape? Yes, of course I did. right? Did you see his 2022 tape? Yes, it was better. And while he had a different offensive coordinator, there's always reasons why you can push a player up if you want to push him up or push him down. There's always a reason. It has to be on the merit of the guy. So Drake May is my number two quarterback out of North Carolina, right? Great size, right? Almost 6'5", 9 1/4 hands, right? 225. This guy's prototypical size as at your NFL quarterback. Let's talk about his career at North Carolina. So he was at North Carolina, and he threw for, drum roll please, 8,000 yards, 63 touchdowns, and 16 interceptions. Very, very good statistically at North Carolina. He fits the mold of the Bill Parcells quarterback with starts. His completion percentage over 60%. He was 65%. He has really, really great accuracy. And then all of a sudden, he loses it. And then he gets it back. And then he loses it again. So he can put the ball in places like you're going, okay, that's Josh Allen-esque for sure. And you're looking at it and you're going, okay. And then you see him throw the ball and then he looks like Christian Ponder. And you're like, okay, what's going on here? That's the only thing. But overall, I would say that if I was starting a franchise and I had to pick between like a C.J. Stroud type who's going to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball down the field, this Drake May is going to be similar to that with the size and strength and strong arm. And I really like the way he pre-snap, reads. But I liked him better in the prior year than in 2023. But I think that offensive system just fit him better. One of the things that I find fascinating about Drake May is the fact that intermediate throws, and I'm going to go back to this, and we're not going to spend a ton of time on Drake May just because I think he's a solid NFL starter from day one. I think there's a ceiling on Drake May, but I still think he's the second best quarterback in this draft. But like I said, if I'm designing an offense, I'm designing an offense around that intermediate throw because intermediate 15 to 30 yard throw, Drake May does better than anybody in this draft, including Caleb Williams. In that specific throw, he's absolutely super accurate, and he loves that Jameis Winston middle of the field. And, you know, Jameis Winston was really, really good at that, and Drake May is as well. And I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, Sean, can he move in the pocket? Yeah, you know what? He does have some ability to move. He had like 700 rushing yards over those 2 years, so it's not bad. I mean, he can move. He's a young man in perfect shape, so yeah, he can move on the football field. I prefer him just to stand in the pocket and throw the ball. I just wish he was a little more consistent this year. If he was what he was in 2022, in 2023, I think that there would be some people that would heavily debate between him and Caleb Williams, even though I think there's no comparison, but I guarantee there'd be more talk about it. But because he had such a down year in 2023, I mean, there was a couple of games where he looked flat out awful this year, where teams that North Carolina should have just blown out and he struggled. And again, when you're missing offensive talent and you're going into a new offensive system, it takes time. But going back to his 2022 tape, if Caleb Williams hadn't won the Heisman, I think Drake May would have won the Heisman based on those numbers. But now, as far as ceilings go, I'm going to go with my third quarterback, might surprise people. And I know Booger McFarland would be super happy. But Jaden Daniels out of LSU, he is the closest thing that I've seen to Randall Cunningham on tape since Randall Cunningham played in the NFL. That's my NFL comparison for him. And Randall Cunningham, when he first came into the league, was very thin, very similar to Jaden Daniels. But so Jaden Daniels, is 6'4", great height, 9 1/4 hands, great, but 210 pounds. He needs to add 15 pounds. And that's something that he's going to do. Just like I said last year, when I watched C.J. Stroud throw the long ball, and I said that he by far outthrows Bryce Young and anybody else in this draft on the long ball. If you haven't watched Jaden Daniels throw the ball 40 yards down the field, 50 yards down the field, it's insane. He's extremely accurate. Now, I don't like his intermediate throws, and that's why he's not higher than he is, because on his wheels right now, like, this guy can move. He can alter games like Lamar Jackson. We think Lamar Jackson moves. Jaden Daniels it can move a lot better than Lamar Jackson. You know, when you're looking at Anthony Richardson, you saw him last year, he got hurt because he was running, but he's a big physical guy. And you see these guys that can really, you know, do things with their legs. No one in the NFL has the wheels that Jaden Daniels has. And I can tell you, I've watched a lot of football. I watch every game, every week, every snap. I watch a lot of football. I watch football all off season. And I'm telling you, after all the years I'm watching, I'm not talking about the quarterback play. I'm just talking about the fact that this guy can run. Jaden Daniels runs like a young Michael Vick, but better. It's insane to watch him. And I know that that's what Booger likes about him. Jaden Daniels is a one read, throw the ball down the field with accuracy, and or just tuck it and run it. And that's what he did at Arizona State, and that's what he did at LSU. Oh, his career overall, he threw for 12,000 yards, which is extremely impressive, but he's got a lot of starts under his belt. He threw 89 touchdowns, 20 interceptions, 66% completion percentage. But again, I want you to remember this about Jaden Daniels. Unbelievable scrambling ability, unbelievable RPO, where he's gonna take the ball and run up the field, and he might score touchdowns. That's how good he's going to be. And then long ball-wise, you've got to put him in an offense where the ball gets down the field. Just like Risk It Biscuit with Bruce Arians. This is the kind of player that would be, I'm going to run the ball or I'm going to hit Mike Evans for a 40 or 50-yard bomb. That's what Jaden Daniels is currently. I'm not saying he can't get better. I have no idea how he's going to read NFL defenses. That's what I wrote. He had incredible wide receiver talent at LSU. I'm talking about first-round wide receivers at LSU, and it was incredible talent. And so that takes away a little bit when you're watching him because you can't tell if it's – sometimes it's the receiver could be so good, kind of like I'll give you an example. Mike Evans, when he played at Texas A&M, he had Johnny Football. Was it Johnny Football or was it Mike Evans that put up those gaudy stats? And, you know, now that we're down the road a little bit, it could be that, hey, maybe Mike Evans made Johnny Football look better than he was. And, you know, that's possible. I'm not, like I said, short passing game, not his thing. When he leaves his feet, when he's throwing the ball, I saw that several times. I don't like it. You have to be able to plant your feet and properly throw the ball. And I think that's probably why he has some intermediate inaccuracies is because he jumps up in the air. He's constantly using his athleticism to get away from, you know, edge rushers. And when he does that, he seems to leap or jump to throw the ball. Not a fan of it. He needs to stop, set, and throw. And I'm sure they'll coach that in the NFL with him. The Drake May, Jaden Daniels thing, they're interchangeable between 2 and 3, in my opinion. It just depends on what kind of offense you're going to run. And the other thing about Jaden Daniels is, it being with his thin frame, how is he going to hold up against some NFL defensive linemen? He did play at LSU. He did play in the SEC, you know, with a lot of defensive players that are going to be playing in the NFL. So he did get that. So I'm anxious to see him. Like, obviously, Caleb Williams is going to be who I'm going to be watching every snap of. But I don't think I'm going to miss anything on Jaden Daniels. Wherever he goes, whether he goes to the Minnesota Vikings or he goes to the Washington Commanders or he goes to the Patriots. I mean, obviously, right now the Patriots are probably going to draft him. But wherever he goes, man, is he going to be exciting to watch. And I wish him all the best. Fun player to watch. My next guy is going to shock everybody. And I'm going to tell you that Bo Nix is my next guy. And this whole thing about Bo Nix moving down the board and not being a NFL starter and all this other stuff, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if it's a smokescreen. I don't know if the scouts need to be drug tested. I have no idea. Bo Nix is Drew Brees. Bo Nix is Drew Brees. That's how you have to look at it. Bo Nix probably is going to go play for Sean Payton for the Denver Broncos because Sean Payton loves his quarterbacks with accuracy. Bo Nix has the college football record for accuracy in a season at 77.4%, almost 80% of his passes. And you're going, but Sean, they're bubble screens and screens. No, they're not. I watched the film, all right? They are not. He throws down the field to Franklin consistently, who, by the way, is a first-round receiver. We're going to go through receivers. It's going to be a huge draft for wide receivers. So quarterbacks and wide receivers, life-altering stuff here, right? I'm telling you right now that Bo Nix at 6'2", 214, 10-inch hands, right? Strong arm, not great arm, but strong arm, right? I'm so tired. I was listening to NFL guys break down, well, he doesn't really have the strongest arm. Oh, okay. Baker Mayfield doesn't either. He can get the ball down the field. I don't know what these guys are talking about. Did Drew Brees with shoulder surgery, did he also have the strongest arm? Or was he just really good at putting it where it's supposed to go? That's Bo Nix, guys. At Oregon, he threw in his senior year, right? He threw 45 touchdowns to 3 interceptions and almost completed 80% of his passes. The hardest thing for the Bo Nix thing was trying to get Auburn out of my head because he was terrible at Auburn. And I watch Bo Nix, and he interviews extremely well. He's extremely cerebral when it comes to football IQ. Knows where to put the football pre-snap, puts it where it's supposed to go. He from what I understand, the coaches love him so much because he's one of those guys that doesn't like to improv, that he follows the scripts like he's supposed to, does what he's supposed to, doesn't really get off of the path. It's kind of funny. It's very similar to what you would hear about Drew Brees. He probably has the best leadership of all of the quarterbacks in this draft, besides McCarthy. And we're going to get into McCarthy. But everything I've read, Bo Nix is the leader. Bo Nix is the captain. Bo Nix is in charge. I don't care about any of the other stuff at the combine. I don't care about anything other than the fact, can he mentally process an NFL defense? And it looks like he can. I think he can. Sometimes he goes to his third progression, which again, somebody like Jane Daniels, who's just more athletically gifted and I feel like has some really huge ceiling. Jane Daniels can have this massive ceiling, or he can just stay where he's at. Bo Nix, on the other hand, I think he's a day one starter. He is not a backup. I don't know what these guys are talking about, but my NFL comparison is Drew Brees. Bo Nix is going to wow everybody when they sit down with him on the chalkboard. He's going to wow every single person when they ask him, you know, what he wants to be in life, like how he wants to be, what he wants to do. He is going to blow coaches away. Everything I read on this guy, he's a charmer, right? He's going to charm his way onto a football team. People are going to sleep on Bo Nix, and he is going to go nuts in the right offense. Can you imagine Sean Payton having like the reincarnation of Drew Brees in Denver to run his offense? You remember last year, Russell Wilson tried to run that offense. Russell Wilson led the NFL with the least amount of air under his throws in the NFL at 6.3 yards. He was last in the NFL. That offense that Peyton runs requires a lot of quick reads, get the ball out, quick release, has to be accurate. Well, here's your quarterback. Bo Nix can do all of those things. And the fact that people are sleeping on him really makes me mad because that's just ridiculous. My next quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington, is Boomer Esiason. I mean, my goodness, fearless, throws the ball with the same arc, like just plays with reckless abandon of I'm just going to throw the ball, I'm going to fit it in tight spots, I'm going to hit you to the outside, I'm going to drive you to the sideline, I'm going to fade you to death. Michael Penix Jr., to me, is a Raider. I mean, for whatever reason in my head, I told you, if you listen to Best in Class, I say there's sometimes I see players in my mind and they're already wearing a jersey. And like Michael Penix, to me, is a Raider. I just see him in that mentality. So he's 6'2", 10 inch hands, 216 pounds. Actually from Tampa, one of the best people that you're going to meet. I heard like he's just a really humble, kind person, well-raised, tons of starts, just like Bo Nix, tons of starting. He started, you know, 3 years at Indiana, 2 years at Washington, threw for 13,000 yards, 96 touchdowns he threw for, 64%. If you didn't watch Washington this year, he had Nduze, and then he had Polk, and then he had Dylan at running back. He had some talent around him, but wasn't it fun to watch Michael Penix throw the ball? His arm is, to me, the strongest arm in this draft, bar none. It's effortless. He is effortless when he throws the ball. It's like he throws like 40-yard passes. He doesn't even put his body into it. And then you watch somebody like J.J. McCarthy, who has to put his entire body into a throw after I'm being told how strong his arm is. It's unbelievable. I really think Boomer Esiason's really the best way to describe it, because he does this really good pre-snap. He knows where he's going with the ball, puts great touch on the ball. Again, he had amazing wide receivers, very similar to Jane Daniels, where it's very confusing sometimes because his receivers were so good at Washington. And Nduze is one of my favorite players in the entire draft. And Polk is one of the guys that I think Jason Light needs to be looking at in later in the middle to later rounds, because I think he's I think he's really, really good. When you watch Penix, he can layer the throws in. So he can go over your shoulder. You know, he can do the quick pass off the line of scrimmage. He can do the middle, that's intermediate pass. He can do the long pass. I love his long ball. He puts a lot of air under it and gives the receiver a lot of time to get it. I really do like that. The injuries, they are what they are, right? Two ACLs, that's a big deal. You know, torn shoulder, huge deal. The guy came back from all of it. He didn't get hurt last year. Apparently, he has one of the highest IQs in the draft. So that's also going to be – that's going to play into out of the pro offenses. There's only really one quarterback that I'm going to talk about that has that run as a strictly pro offense, and that's going to be McCarthy. And we'll talk about him. But these offenses, we're going to see how they translate. Like Bo Nix, bubble screens, you know, quick slants, that kind of stuff. We'll see how that translates. But it's very similar to what like I said, what New Orleans ran with Drew Brees. But I was with a lot of that. But as far as NFL ready – I think that Penix goes right in day one, and I know everyone's gonna say, "Well, let's you know he needs time to develop." No, he doesn't. The guy's passed. Let me just tell you how many throws he's had. Let's just look it up, and let's just see how many times he's thrown the ball. 1,067 times. That's how many completions he's had in college football. He threw the ball. He attempted 1,685 passes. This guy is a seasoned professional, just like Bo Nix. He has started since 2018 in college football. He has a lot of games under him. He has 30, 40, 50. He has 52 games underneath him, right? I'm just thinking to myself, put him out there. Let him throw the ball all over the field. Let him layer it all over the field. I loved it. I love Michael Penix. The injury concern is, I mean, for me, it is a concern because he's your franchise. And is he one hit away? And, you know, and we're going to talk about another player that I really like in this draft that's probably one hit away from ending his career. But Michael Penix is tough. He's Tampa tough, and if Michael Penix happens to be sitting there, and I don't think he will, but if he's sitting there at 26, Jason Light, it's your duty to draft him, put him on the bench, just like Rodgers, just like Love did for the Packers, Patrick Mahomes set, right? So that's those are really important things to watch. I mean, there are guys that have spent time developing, and Michael Penix, could sit behind Baker Mayfield and then take over. But you just need to get a player in this draft. Bo Nix is sitting there at 26. You have to take him. You just have to. Moving on, let's talk about the last quarterback that I have in the first round, and that's J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. All right? 6'2", 219 pounds, 9-inch hinge, which is pretty small. Comparatively speaking, you really want him to be a little bit bigger. Basically a three-year starter. Let's just say he's a two-and-a-half-year starter. 67% completion percentage. Threw for 6,000 yards. That's not a lot. He threw for 49 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, which is, again, comparatively speaking to the other guys that we just went over, nowhere near. It's a big miss comparative, but that's what he ran at Michigan. Now, he did run a completely pro offense, so he's going to have less of an adjustment going into the NFL. I know that there's several NFL teams that like him in the top 10 picks. I would not be surprised if McCarthy goes in the top 10. But I don't understand it because when I did my analysis of McCarthy, now I watched the Michigan games this year. I watched McCarthy play a lot. His arm is above average. I don't think he has this great strong arm that you hear all these announcers talk about because he has to put his body into it a lot. You want to see a strong arm? Watch Michael Penix. Ball placement-wise, if you guys watched the last two games, I watched him against Alabama, you watched him against Washington, if you watch these games, like his accuracy is all over the place. And I know that GMs love this guy because apparently he's high character, strong leader, fierce competitor. You know, Brady comes up in some of the conversations about the competitiveness of Brady, which is fine. When you're going to talk about one aspect of Brady, that's fine with me. Just don't compare him to Brady. I'm not a big fan of his long ball at all. I think he struggles getting the ball down the field. You know, I think that he forces the ball in sometimes. I think there's a reason why, you know, he only threw for 482 passes. He only threw 240 passes last year, which isn't – that's just not a ton of work. He was 27-1 as a starter, which is very impressive. Again, but that's the Michigan team is basically has a lot of NFL talent on it and was coached by an NFL coach. Listen, this McCarthy thing – I'm not going to go out here and tell you that McCarthy is is like a Christian Ponder guy or a Gina Toretta guy that only lost one game or two games in his entire career and then tried to make it in the NFL. That's not what I'm saying. McCarthy is physically gifted, has the size. I don't like his hand. I don't like the size of his hands, but that's just me because I'm a little weird about that. But because of the ball placement and the inconsistencies of getting the ball down the field, the fact that he basically puts his body in a lot of his throws where I feel like he's compensating somewhat for that arm. And if you talk to every scout, they're like, oh, his arm is strong. I'm like, but can he stand still without shifting his hips and his shoulders and throw a ball on the rope? I don't see that. Bo Nix, for everybody saying Bo Nix doesn't have a strong arm, he can do it. Penix can do it in his sleep, right? So, Caleb Williams can do it, right? It's a no-brainer. Jaden Daniels is an extremely powerful arm for his size and his thinness. It's pretty crazy. But let's just say that McCarthy goes out there and he actually throws 30 throws in a game, and you can actually see, okay, does he have to get into a rhythm? And because he didn't throw so many passes, was it a rhythm issue why he was inconsistent with his ball placement? And if he had more throws, gets into a rhythm, is he the guy that can carry a football team? Is he a game manager, or is he, a difference maker? And I put in my notes here for all the best in class listeners. I put in my notes. I'm kind of incomplete, right, on this breakdown. I don't have enough to go by. Pro offense, yes. Arm, yes. Leadership, yes. Fierce competitor, yes. 27-1, yes. You got an NFL head coach saying that he's the number one pick in the draft. I get all of that stuff, but it has to be in practice, right? Because they get to see him throw the ball in practice and in the games, and we just get to see him throw the ball in the games, right? So there must be more throws here. There must be a larger part of this puzzle that makes it look like that J.J. McCarthy is better than he is. I'm going to just put an incomplete grade on him. I know he's going in the first round. I've read enough to know he's going in the first round. Harbaugh has a huge influence in the NFL. He's very, very well respected. He says this guy's the number one pick. He says that this is the guy he would have on his team. Well, he has a pretty good one with Justin Herbert right now. But J.J. McCarthy only worries me in the fact that my breakdown is incomplete. I would have rather seen him throw the ball more and see if he can get into a rhythm. If you watch that national championship game against Washington, he was out of rhythm that whole game. At one point, I think he was 1 of 6 or 1 of 9. He finished with under 50% completion percentage. I when you look at him, it just looked like he just never got into a rhythm, and he made a couple of really great throws when he needed to, and Michigan won the game. But make no mistake, Michigan had an amazing run. They had Blake Corum, and they had that offensive line. So I'm just saying that it's incomplete, and I hope he does well. And listen, he's good enough to where if the Bucks, let's just say he falls to 26, and he's there, Jason Light has to draft him. You have to draft one of these six guys in the first round if somebody falls to you. Listen, if none of these quarterbacks there at 26, Jason Light, I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to say a thing. Draft your pass rusher. Draft your Duke guard, whatever you want to do. Draft Kool-Aid. It's fine. He's an amazing corner. We're going to talk about corners, but whatever you want to do. But if your quarterback's there, it is your duty to set us up, because the entire Bucks organization since 1976 has not done a good job of getting us a franchise quarterback that we draft, we develop, and we can have for 10 or 14 years. We just haven't done it. And Jason, you could cement yourself. Obviously, you're the greatest GM in Buccaneers history, but you could really cement yourself as one of the best ever if you can get the Bucs a franchise quarterback. And that sounds funny until you look at our history. We've drafted Jameis Winston. We've drafted Vinny Testaverde to be our franchise quarterbacks, and it didn't work out. And I going back there, and you're like, okay, you don't just stop trying to draft quarterbacks when you don't hit on them. It's, the Trent Dilfers of the world, still a first-round draft pick. I get it, right? We need our Patrick Mahomes, our Josh Allen, right? Our Justin Herbert. We need our guy. And Baker Mayfield, I love Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's 29 years old, signed a 3-year contract. He might be the face of our franchise for the next 3 years. Good for him. I wish him the very best. He got the money he wanted. I like him. But he's not the next decade at our quarterback position. And that's what I want. I want that. And if you look at next year's draft, let's just say Baker Mayfield gets hurt or has a bad year. You have a 2-year out, I think, on Baker Mayfield, right? So basically, you go into next year, Shedeur Sanders is really the only quarterback, and Cam might be the only two quarterbacks anybody's looking at next year. It's not really a quarterback draft unless, like, Ewers from Texas or somebody comes out and really lights it up, and then it gets hyped up. But we'll see how that works. Now, I'm going to go and give you one sleeper guy before we go, right? Because I know it's been a long podcast. I love the fact. I hope you guys are still with me because this is great stuff. But I'm going to go with Spencer Rattler. He's not going to be a first-round guy. We're looking for everybody's looking for the next Brock Purdy, right? Everybody's looking for the next Tom Brady, a guy that you can draft in the lower rounds that becomes a franchise quarterback or becomes the greatest ever, right? Everybody's looking for that guy. You know, Sam Howell was a fifth-round draft pick. Sam Howell started a lot of games for Washington last year, and Seattle's really high on him. I really think Sam Howell has a chance to be in the league a long time as a fifth-round draft pick. Spencer Rattler, right, 6'0", 211, 9 7/8 hands. Not super athletic, but this is what he does extremely well. Gets the ball out fast, right? He has amazing amount of starts under his belt. He has 1,300 pass attempts as a starter in college football. He has been up and down through his college career and handled it with grace, in my opinion. Arm strength is above average. He was a 5-star prospect. He was supposed to be the next Andrew Luck. My only concern about him is if he doesn't get the ball out right away, he locks onto his receivers, and that can be an issue. He is fearless. He's got that Brett Favre, I can make all the throws, put me out there, coach. I'm going to force it in. If I throw an interception, I'm like a duck. I have a quick memory. I'm not going to remember. I'm going to go back out and throw the ball down the field again. When he is in his rhythm, he's elite. Let me just put it to you that way. When Spencer Rattler gets into a rhythm where he completes 3, 4, 5, 6 passes in a row, he's unstoppable. He's like a basketball player. He gets into these rhythms where he's just unstoppable, but then he'll have a game where you're like, who is this guy? And, you know, it's going to be very funny that Will Levis was the guy that we talked about last year out of Kentucky, and the reason why he fell to the second round was because he was inconsistent, and I know Mel Kiper is going to harp on him and harp on him. He had a really solid rookie year, in my opinion. This is a guy that's just not consistent. Spencer Rattler has a little bit of that Levis in him where Levis looks extremely good, and then you're like, oh, what happened, right? And then it comes back again. If they can figure that aspect out, but what I like, and again, don't like his size, don't like his athletic profile, but this is what I do like. The guy is an absolute beast getting the ball to his receiver off the line, quick snap. So Spencer Rattler, you're going to laugh at this, but he really fits the Kyle Shanahan profile for a quarterback, just like Brock Purdy. Rattler's a very, very similar player. I would not be surprised if Kyle Shanahan jumps on Rattler in the draft. It would not surprise me if he puts him on his bench. Because I think that he has some very, very similar qualities to that. But I think Rattler might surprise somebody with some development. I don't think he's a day one starter or anything like that. But he might surprise some people in the preseason. And then he might, depending on what team he goes to, compete for a starting job, you know, by middle of the year. We'll see how that goes. Well, that concludes my quarterback breakdown of the 2024 NFL Draft. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Please visit BillCurryFord.com so you have all of our amazing specials for the Giant. Please follow us at Bill Curry Tampa, Facebook, Instagram, and now TikTok. I guess we have that thing going now. Obviously, for service, when you schedule your service, we have this really amazing thing. Pickup and delivery is free for our guests. And mobile service is free for our guests. So keep that in mind when you're scheduling your appointment. You might want the car picked up at your home and brought back. You might want to be able to service your company's fleet from your yard where they're not on the road and costing you money. We are a full-service dealership. We even have an insurance company where we sell auto insurance, and it's called Curry Cares Insurance. It's amazing as well. We are a full-stop shop, so please visit us. Bill Curry Ford in Tampa, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Thank you, Joe Bucks fan. Thank you, Curry family, for letting me do my podcast. I'll see you guys next time. It's going to be exciting. It's wide receivers.